ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 टुडे द परफेक्ट सोसाइटी फॉर सोशल क्लासेस। रीड द फर्स्ट श्लोक। श्रीशुक उवाच श्रुत्वे हितं साधु शब्द सब्जितं महात्मा ग्रण्य उरुक्रमात्मनः युधिष्ठरो दैत्यपतेर् मुदान्वितः पपृच्छ भूयस्तनयं स्वयं भुवः। ट्रांसलेशन इज सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड आफ्टर हियरिंग अबाउट द एक्टिविटीज एंड कैरेक्टर ऑफ प्रहलाद महाराज which are adored and discussed among great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Yudhishthir Maharaj, the most respectful king among exalted personalities, again inquired from the great Saint Narad Muni in a mood of great pleasure. Text 2 today. Sri Yudhishthir Uvacha Bhagavan Shrotum Ichhami Nrinam Dhrid धर्मं सनातनं वर्णाश्रमाचरयुतं यत् पुमान् विन्दते परम् श्री यु। ट्रांसलेशन प्रोपोर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। महाराज युधिष्ठिर सेड माय डियर लॉर्ड आई विश टू हियर फ्रॉम यू अबाउट द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ रिलीजन by which one can attain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society and the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Varnashrama Dharma. Purport. Sanatan Dharma means devotional service. The word Sanatan refers to that which is eternal, which does not change but continues in all circumstances. We have several times explained what the eternal occupational duty of the living being is. Indeed, it has been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Swarup Haya Krishnera Nityadas. The real occupational duty of the living entity is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if one prefers to deviate from this principle, he remains a servant because that is his eternal position. But one serves Maya, the illusory material energy. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is an attempt to guide human society to serving the personality of Godhead instead of serving the material world with no real profit. Our actual experience is that every man, animal, bird, and beast, indeed every living entity, is engaged in rendering service. Even though one's body or one's superficial religion may change, every living entity is always engaged in the service of someone. Therefore, the mentality of service is called the eternal occupational duty. This eternal occupational duty can be organized through the institution of Varnashrama, in which there are four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and four Ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Thus Yudhishthir Maharaj inquired from Narad Muni about the principles of Sanatana Dharma for the benefit of human society. We're beginning a new chapter today in which the conversation continues between the great Rajarshi Mahabhagavat King Yudhishthir Maharaj and the most exalted Guru, Sri Narad Muni, who is the perfect candidate for asking questions on devotional service. Being a great king who has to govern the world, Yudhishthir Maharaj very well understands that he must run the kingdom on the basis of the teachings of the great souls, the Mahajans. Being a great Mahajan himself, he understands that when the kingdom will be governed on the principles of dharma as given by great souls, then everyone will become peaceful and happy. Like it says here, Vindate, the word Vindate here Prabhupada translates as can enjoy very peacefully. That means everyone can be happy in this world on the basis of Krishna consciousness. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about what we have learned several times again and again about the concept, the definition, the very Siddhanta of Dharma. For us, it may be something like a repetitive thing, but for the people in general, the word Dharma is a totally enigmatic word. People have no idea what is Dharma. But by the mercy of Prabhupada, we are very clear that there are two types of Dharma, the bodily Dharma and the spiritual Dharma. Two types. So, the bodily dharma is based on the divisions of external designations based on your varna and ashram. So, we may be a brahmachari or a grihastha, or we may be a brahmana or kshatriya. And the soul's dharma is only one, is to always serve Krishna. And by the mercy of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, everybody is trained systematically how to amalgamate these two things, to integrate the two things properly. That is the training of the spiritual master. A grihastha understands that he is a grihastha. That means he has to, his bodily dharma would be to earn Lakshmi, maintain his family, maintain standards of, you know, piety and morality in his life, and also along with that deeply try to spiritual to purify his consciousness by shraman kirtan, like that, by so he's able to combine these two things nicely. Of course, we need to understand that this very, very important line which we are hearing many times, we have heard several times, jivara swarup hoy Krishna Nitya Das. When you think about it, how very important is this particular statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all of us? In Krishna's Gita, the verse Dehinvashmitha Dehe is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. So that clarifies the bheda between body and soul. And when it comes to Mahaprabhu, who is also the same Krishna, again speaking this time not to Arjun, but another person who is like Arjun, Sanatana Goswami, at Prayag, Allahabad. This time he begins his presentation of Krishna consciousness by this one line. Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Ranitya Das. How very clear and how very simple, yet how very profound is this definition of dharma. How very concise and how very beautiful it is. Then just six words, we've been told exactly, clearly, without any ambiguity whatsoever as to what is the nature of the living entity. Like somebody was one day analyzing, I think I remember, it started from behind. He said, Das, the first word is Das, from behind. So that's clear first. Nobody is master here. It's all about Das. And nothing here about Prabhutva and Aishwarya and Ishbhav. It is about Das. Huh? Then of course the next word which comes is not just Das for, government servant and this servant, that servant, but Nitya Das. So it is all about eternality of being the servant. So don't even expect anything to change. It's going to remain like this only always. It's going to be always being a servant. Nitya, eternally. But then, yes, if Nitya Dasatva is there, fine. It's difficult to accept this in the material world for all of us. But now who is the person who I'm supposed to serve? Who's my master? Then he says, Krishna Nitya Das. So that, you keep on going like that. So it is very clear, my servitude is eternal. And it is eternal fully for one person. I don't have to change many masters. As a job changes, your master changes, right? In this world, today you are with the little ants, tomorrow you go to Tata, and third day you go to TCS, keeps on changing. Different masters every 3 months you can get. But yeah, there is eternally only one master. Because there is only one master. There are no two masters, so therefore there is no question of changing your, there is only one master in this world. Ekala Ishvara is only Sri Krishna. And then that particular service to Krishna is our very Swaroop. It is our Swaroop. Swaroop means your own integral, innate, constitutional nature. That is your very Swaroop. That is your Swaroop Siddhi. When we become perfected in our Swaroopa, we will realize that this is my real identity. It wasn't any one of these excellent identities which I was thinking of so far, of being Brahmana or Kshatriya or Grihastha, whatever. I was never all these things. Deep within my soul is always, my Swaroop is, and it calls it Jiva, Jivera Swaroop. Again, last word is Jiva, from behind. That means you're talking about not about the body or temporary time. You're talking about only the Jiva, your soul. So how in these just few words, things become so clear by Prabhupada's mercy, Mahaprabhu's mercy. So I just thought I would just mention this because we need to express our, deep felt gratitude to Mahaprabhu Chaitanya for making things simple for us in that sense. Otherwise, Vedic scriptures are difficult to understand. Nitam guhayam. Dharmasa Tattvam is very difficult to, very difficult. If there are not such clear-cut guidelines given, even if you wanted to become a dharmic person, you not know what it means to dharma. You probably start serving your country or, just start giving some philanthropy and start planting trees and start digging some wells and you think you're very dharmic. Or go to a school and start distributing school pencils and rubber and notebooks. And you would be considered as a very pious person This is what dharma is. Or donate a fan in a temple and put your name over it. So Mr. Patel donated this fan. So we would all think this would be dharma. Or putting some, Lakshmi in the hundi would be dharma. Right? Or just feeding some sadhu would be dharma. What is dharma? Or going to Badrinath and, at least once in a lifetime you should go to Badrinath, Char Dham, and that would be dharma. What? So, so much ambiguity is there. But we are so lucky that we... In just six words, this is dharma. Just serve Sri Krishna. That's it. Finished. So, of course, today is a very historical day. Talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yesterday was Makar Sankranti, very auspicious day according to Vedic calendar. When the sun changes its direction from the south and starts entering the north. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata especially, how that was the day when actually the Lord took sannyas. If Krishna is the enjoyer, then when he practices renunciation, does he enjoy? If his nature is to always accept the services of his devotees, and this particular Leela that the Lord is performing, he is deliberately not accepting any enjoyment. Even the good bedding given by, who was that? Jagadanand Pandit, Satyabhama. Jagadanand Pandit, and the oil for his body, and good food, which Adhva Chacharya was preparing, Sri Ramachandra was preparing. All these things which are there, which those who knew who he is God, they were giving. And the Lord is not accepting anything. So then how is the Lord enjoying? If you're not accepting anything, for enjoying, you have to accept the gifts of what people are giving you. You know, your this and that and praises and this. But he's not accepting anything. He's in the mood of complete renunciation. He's not enjoying family life. He's not enjoying the adoration of his students as Nimai Pandit. He's not enjoying anything. So what is if the Lord is considered an enjoyer, then what is the Lord enjoying in this Leela? This is very beautiful. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is enjoying his nature of giving out mercy indiscriminately. That he is enjoying. That type of enjoyment he has not really had to the fullest extent in previous avatars. In previous avatars, the Lord was in that sense little discriminative and restrictive in his audience to whom he would give his mercy. We were just talking about nursing there for so many months. Now, specifically, the person who got mercy was only Prahlad. Only Prahlad. Of course, everyone, all the demigods who saw the Lord also are blessed because they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we cannot say they are not blessed. But specifically, the object, the audience of Kripa was only one. So one avatar and one devotee is like, it's like the ratio is very high. 1:1 ratio. For blessing one devotee, the Lord comes from Vaikuntha. So that's very, you can imagine. It's like you have ratios in this world, right? There are so many beds per, population, and so many people are, so many ratios are there. So for delivering one person, the Lord has to come. It's a very high ratio. 1:1. Of course, it is not 1:1 in an extended sense, because over the years, the Lord's Narasimhadev's pastime has inspired so many people towards his lotus feet. So it was not one, at that time it was 1:1, but it is still Ananta, because the Lord is never limited. It cannot be just one person. Obviously, millions of living entities afterwards who have heard and read and worshipped the Lord are blessed. So it is not one in that sense. But still, taking that point a little further logically, is that the Lord in this Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is doing something which he had never done before. He had never enjoyed. He blessed Prahlad and he was happy about that because, he was suffering. He was, not suffering in that sense, but he was being tormented. And Lord was very happy to protect him, install him as king, and kill all the demons who are troubling him. Kill Hiranyakashipu. That's it. Finished. But so he was not broad in giving. But here in Mahaprabhu's Leela, how the Lord opens, it is said, it is not just a rainfall of mercy or, he's come here to create what? A flood of mercy. Flood. A flood. A flood is like a tsunami is like a flood, right? We have seen this, at least the videos of tsunami waves, how it just, in one wave, it just covers several kilometers of water. It's just only one. It was only one episode. It wasn't like went on again. If the Lord really gives a tsunami from his side, from his ocean of mercy, then it just sweeps the entire planet. It sweeps the entire universe. So the Lord is enjoying in this Leela his indiscriminate, unrestricted, uncalculated, complete mercy, without any sort of patra patra na dekhi type of thing. Anybody. Everybody. So this is giving the Lord immense enjoyment. And therefore, he wanted to do this so bad. He wanted to taste this mellow. And of course, what is he distributing? He's distributing the love of Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's not just ordinary love. The love of the Brijvasis. So we can try and recount today, since Mahaprabhu took his sannyas yesterday. And of course, today, when we think about it, today in the morning, Mahaprabhu left All the devotees that is described came to Mahaprabhu's home in Navadvip. All his devotees, but just by Lord's will, knowing that he's going to leave and not see his devotees anymore in that particular role of Nimai Pandit. Everyone just spontaneously came to his house. All his dear friends, all his associates, all his students, all the people who really adored him in Navadvip, they all sort of just started thronging into his house. And there was great receptivity, there was this festivity, there was exchange of a lot of love, garlands, singing, merrymaking. And it was a very joyous occasion. The Lord was is like almost like a last supper he's having with his dear devotees. And then the last person to come, late the last person to come was Kolavecha Sridhar. What have you brought for me today? You would always never come empty-handed. It is our custom, is it not? He said that we should go to a temple of the Lord. We should always carry a fruit or flower or something. So he said, what have you brought? So he was in his jhola. He said, my dear Lord, what can I give you? But I just brought this pumpkin. So the Lord said, oh, I will make this my last meal. So then somebody, there's nothing in the house. Nimai Pandit was in that sense, you know, he was not a very rich man. He wasn't a very rich person. He was very simplistic in his living, and he didn't have much material opulence in that sense. Somebody brought milk also. I said, I brought milk from my cousins. So milk, sugar, and so the last item which Mahaprabhu had was pumpkin sweet rice. And he went to bed. It is said Sachi Mata knew. She could feel a mother's heart knows what the mother's heart is, very intuitive heart. Father's heart is not so intuitive usually, but mother's heart is very intuitive because she's so tuned into the through her love with her children. So she can, she had sensed that today my son may leave. She had sensed that. So she was standing at the door, it is described. And Sachi Mata's agony, her palpitating heart, tears of love, it says she was just standing there like a statue. And the only movement in her entire body was the constant stream of tears flowing from her lotus-like eyes. And Mahaprabhu got up and he saw his mother. Now, he cannot just neglect her and go away. So he touched her lotus feet, offered pradakshina, and then with a heavy heart, obviously Mahaprabhu was not doing it with some sort of, you know, pleasure. Oh, yeah, you know, with a heavy heart to leave his mother. The mother's love, you know, we have heard from in Vrindavan, from Radhanath Maharaj about the love of Yashoda and Krishna. What type of love was there? What is the exchange of that supreme rasa exchange between Krishna and Mother Yashoda? And that love, and probably even multiplied more, was Sachi Mata. And here the Lord is going to leave her, and he knows more than anybody else what break of heart she will have, what a heart attack she will have, what type of bereavement will be in her heart. But even understanding fully well the nature of the suffering of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya, still the Lord, to enjoy the pleasure of giving all of us this mercy, was willing to give immense pain to his dear associates, Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya, just to reach out to all of us, poor souls of Kali Yuga. So actually, he swam across the Ganga, and then in the morning he reached, that is today morning, that is maybe somewhere around now, he reached the place of Kantak Nagar, which is Katwa, now called as Katwa. Of course, the Lord had already given his some signals to his devotee that he was going to take sannyas. The first time the Lord gave indication about his sannyas, as Lord Ram, he had revealed that he was going to take sannyas in Trita Yuga, actually. When Ram and Sita had come to Navadvip, on their moving around the country together, so the Lord actually had revealed to Mother Sita that in my next Leela, I will leave you and take sannyas. So that was already revealed in the scriptures. But so that is like a far off thing. But in the immediate Leela of Mahaprabhu, the first indication Mahaprabhu gave was when Srivas Thakur's son left this world. When a son who had apparently untimely death, of course there is nothing like untimely in one sense because everything is under the Lord's control. But then when Srivas Thakur was grief-stricken and his mother, Malini, she was grief-stricken, all the neighbors crying. So Mahaprabhu, seeing their immense emotion of sorrow and lamentation, I said, Nitai and myself, we are now your children. And Srivas Thakur was very pacified. Srivas Thakur was an elderly person. And Mahaprabhu in his mind at that time, for the first time, thinks that Srivas Thakur had actually instructed his people, the ladies who were crying, to not cry loudly because it would disturb the Lord's Kirtan in the next room. So Mahaprabhu was really amazed at the devotion of Srivas Thakur, which is what we're talking about Narad Muni today. And the same Narad Muni who was Prahlad's guru and who was giving answers to Yudhishthira Maharaj, the same Narad Muni, that exalted personality, had come as Thakur Srivas. And his level of devotion is such that even if his son dies, he can control his own tears and his own emotions, and even threaten his wife that I will commit suicide if you crowd lady, because I don't want the Lord's dancing to get disturbed. So to what extent he wants to preserve and allow and permit in his house the Lord's pleasure, he wants to have the Lord's pleasure in uninterrupted manner. This is his service to the Lord, that the Lord should not get disturbed in his pleasure. He should keep on dancing, keep on enjoying, keep on relishing the holy names. So nothing should disturb him, not even if my son dies. Whatever happens, nothing should disturb him. So when Mahaprabhu learns this, he said, how can I give up the association of a person like Srivas who will not disturb me even when his son dies? So that was like a very difficult statement which the devotees could not decipher. What is he saying? Leave Srivas. It's like Prabhupada, the devotees never thought Prabhupada ever leave New York. So the devotees who joined in Prabhupada in New York City, the first batch of devotees, for them, their country, their world was now not anymore the whole city or the whole state of USA. The whole world was now narrowed down to just Matchless Gift, 22nd Avenue. The whole world has contracted in that sense to just the immediate reality of Prabhupada's presence. And everything else was sort of effaced out into like a camera just focuses it, and everything else in the camera becomes becomes hazy. So the camera of their consciousness was focused at Prabhupada completely, and everything else in the world which was around them had become insignificant. So they never thought that this reality would ever change, that Prabhupada would be with us and we will be with him, and we will meet every alternate day and discuss Bhagavad Gita, go to Prabhupada's apartment and do some service to him, clean, cook prasad, maybe at the most go out for Sankirtan. But then Prabhupada said, I want to go to San Francisco. So how can you go, Swamiji? Yes. What will happen to all of us? So that was sort of thing. For the devotees of Navadvip, there was no question of Mahaprabhu doing anything else, anything different. He was with them and they were with him, and that's it. The whole life would ever always go like this. So that is the nature of love. You get so engrossed, entwined into each other that actually everything else becomes insignificant. Anyway, then a beautiful lila takes place where the Lord is now gradually orchestrating his sannyas. So the yogamaya potency of the Lord, specifically the lila shakti of the Lord, is organizing various events which gradually are inching towards the final taking of sannyas. So Brahman is there, who sees the Lord. He is going in one direction, and the Lord also is coming from his bathing. He said, oh, you are Gauranga? You are the Nimai Pandit? The last night I was at your home, and I wanted to see so bad your dance, your famous dance. And I was banging at the door, and nobody opened the door. In fact, somebody came there and, really stopped us, stopped me from going inside. And how can you do this? I'm a Brahmin, So he was sort of very annoyed that somebody was, had the audacity to stop a Brahmin from entering the room. He said, I'm not qualified to see your dance. You think I'm a fallen soul? I'm a Brahmin. So he was really, really annoyed with the sort of
bad etiquette which being practiced at Sivas Thakur's house. You're not allowing a decent person to come in. What do you think of yourself? Like that. And he got that fit of sort of rage went on a little further. And he got a little uncontrollably sort of mad at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took his Brahman thread and snapped it and said, I curse you for doing this to me, that you will never enjoy material life anymore. And Mahaprabhu says, thank you very much for saying this to me. You have done a great service to me. So then he just says, what? And by now he was possessed as if by some force. And then he sort of calmed down. So what did I say? I cursed Nimai Pandit. And then it dawned upon him, I didn't say these words. I was made to say these words. Somebody said it through me. Then the Lord within his heart revealed that actually he is the Lord himself. And he is just making this Brahman an instrument to make his Leela go one step further. Right? The Leela has to move. It cannot just stop. Like Chitrakoot, Lord Ramchandra is at Chitrakoot, for example, for 11 years. And they are living very happily, Rama and Sita. One of the finest days of their lives together was at Chitrakoot. Huh? But then, you know, Rama had not come for just that. For living peacefully in this world with Mother Sita. He had come to kill Ravan. So something had to happen. So then he comes to Nasik. And again, Lila Shakti arranges that Sita Maya is kidnapped. So after the kidnap takes place, then you know, Lila has to move. Otherwise, Lila is just sort of stuck in one place. Nothing is really happening, you know. So similarly, year over year, this particular Lila, again, Lila moves further into this next phase where the Lama is already told that you are not going to enjoy material life. So he said, well, Mahaprabhu said, I'm not going to enjoy material life. I was already cursed. So you know, I must give up material life. And the first time he reveals his mind in confidence to Lord Nityananda. Obviously, because who's more closer to the Lord in that sense than his own? They are two bodies and one soul. Krishna and Balaram, Ram and Lakshman, Gauranga and Nityananda. They are one. They are one. So he said, you know the purpose of my descent, our descent. So he reveals to him. And to make the Leela more interesting, one day the Lord is fully absorbed in his own home. And this time he's in a different mood. Mahaprabhu would always be in different moods of devotion. Relishing different moods of devotion. So this time he was meditating on the love of the gopis for Krishna. So he's chanting the word gopi, gopi, gopi. There's so much of feeling he's chanting the word names of the gopis. And then this Brahmin student comes to his house and he's sort of shocked. He never saw anybody do that. He never heard anybody recommend that. He never read it anywhere in the scripture that you should chant gopis' names. See, these people are very, these Brahmanas are not ordinary souls. They are fully fixed in the conclusion of the scripture which they have read. So anything which they say, deviation, say, what, how can you do something like this? So it was like a paradigm shift. Somebody chanting gopi, gopi. And somebody like Nimai Pandit, who's like, you know, really, really Shastra Chakshu and Digvijayi and he had defeated Keshav Kashmiri and he's done chanting gopi, gopi. Said, where does it say this? How are you chanting these words gopi, gopi? You should be chanting the words of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu is in a completely different absorption. He's not in external consciousness. He says, what, Krishna? Why should I worship Krishna? Why should I worship Krishna? That same Krishna who, you know, when Bali Maharaj surrendered to him, he pushed him down into a hellish planet. That Krishna, he bound him. And when, what else he said? Many things. he cut off this Surpanga's nose. How can you cut woman's nose? What Vedic literature is to protect the women, the children, the old people, the brahmanas? It's all very, very much there in our scripture. What kind of protecting? You cut off the nose of a woman and cut her nose and cut her ears. What kind of dharma is this? And culling Vali from behind. Oh my God, this is, Ram is supposed to be Maryada Purushottam, great Kshatriya king. And which Kshatriya will kill somebody from behind? Not an ordinary Kshatriya will not kill. What would talk of the supreme Kshatriya like Ram? And he's killing somebody from behind, hiding behind a tree. What kind of Krishna you are worshipping? So Mahaprabhu was in a completely different absorption. which obviously this Brahman could not understand. And what I'm, as I was thinking, actually, I was sympathizing with him, he obviously would not understand. No, who can understand the Lord's minds and activities? It's a Vaishnava Kriya Mudra is Vigyana Bhujai. When Vaishnava, his activities are really difficult to understand. What to talk of the supreme of all, in that sense, Vaishnavas? When the Lord comes as a supreme Vaishnava, who can understand his mind and activities? And nobody can, obviously. And then Mahaprabhu is so angry for hearing the recommendation to start worshipping Krishna again, he takes a stick in his hand. You nonsense. He chases him with a stick and wants to beat him up to pulp. So angry for hearing about, some. And he runs. This boy runs. Thomas was, with panting, running with the like that. He just runs full force and goes back. He says, What happened? He's looking so scared. So you know what he did today? Is Dimai. And you tell him what happened. Children, all these young people, how they talk. So what do you think of himself? You can imagine, young boys talking together. Because Nimai Pandit that time also is just 15, 16 years old. He's not a big, he's a boy, grown-up boy. No, he's also a son of a Brahman. He's also a son of a Brahman also. How come he's become a big master suddenly? What do you think? Is he hitting a Brahman? So he said, next time let him do something like this and we will show him. So they really get angry. Anyway, so Leela moves further because he sees that there are a lot of people who are proud. So these are the symbolic group of people who are going to be very proud. And pride is that one particular type of lead. Like when you go for x-ray, you take an x-ray, then the person who is taking an x-ray wears a lead gown. Or when a pregnant lady goes for an x-ray, she wears a lead gown. So lead doesn't allow x-ray to penetrate. So the lead of spiritual life is pride. When pride is, you are wearing the sort of unearth of pride on your consciousness, then any mercy can actually not penetrate your soul. It's like lead. It just gets held back there itself. So pride is a very difficult type of unearth to really tackle, because it really keeps you, are in the midst of all the mercy in the world and yet, be completely dry. So Mahaprabhu dictated that a lot of people are going to be like this. Actually, the Brahmanas were very proud at that time because they were very respected. And they gave respect. And Navadvip was full of such Brahmanas, the Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Chakravartis were there. Very proud people, extremely proud. A lot of wealth they had earned because all the pious work from the Vedas, a lot of wealth, a lot of opulence was there. And how many students? It is said there are thousands of students from all over the world they were coming. So the Cambridge of medieval India and 15th century was not US. Cambridge was actually our own Navadvip. Thousands of Patshalas were there. So very proud professors. So Lord knew that actually they will never understand my glory for what I have come to give them. But only if I take sannyas. So what is the Lord's purpose? Like, there is a strategy. The Lord, Prabhupada wanted to go to America with a strategy. If I go to America, then my poor Indian fellow men who are so enamored by the Western glamour will open their hearts to something coming which is genuine, because they just cannot accept anything which is, native Indian. It has to have a seal of approval from the West. So Prabhupada had a strategy, specific strategy, why he took the risk to go to America. Well, after trying for 33 years in India, nothing really happened. He got one, not one, they said he was a half disciple. Prabhupada was a half disciple. Not even a full disciple. So similarly, Mahaprabhu had a strategy, very specific strategy, that only if I take sannyas, then sannyasis are so respected in society that they will all have to bow down to me. And we know from scriptures that the power of bowing down to the Lord, there are so many evidences in the scripture that you just bow down to the Lord once, your bhakti has started. You're on your way back to Godhead. So everybody, proud or unproud, will all bow down to a person who is carrying a sannyas rod. So with that desire to somehow engulf the pious, of course, will worship him. But the pious, the impious, so again you can see the Lord's strategy is to allow everybody to fit into his fold of mercy. So nobody should be spared, nobody should be left out. It's specifically to allow everybody to get accommodated into the fold of his love and mercy. For that he has taken sannyas. And second reason is to reach out to people who are far more than he can reach out as a grihastha. That was the second reason. The grihastha, his circle of influence is, in that sense, limited. Is it not? The grihastha has to come back home. However, he travels out, but ultimately he'll have to come back home to his wife and children. He cannot be just freelance moving around. But as a sannyasi, he is not bound to reach back to home. He can keep on traveling indiscriminately. So within the limited time he was going to be in this world, he wanted to give maximum mercy. So these are two specific reasons why the Lord took sannyas. So he's not bound by the limitations created by grihastha life. Extensively travel and preach and extensively give out mercy to everybody and anybody. So then of course the Lord reveals his mind to his associates. Manitana Prabhu says you speak to your associates. So the Lord gives an analogy that I brought pipali to this world. Pipali is Ayurvedic medicine to create mucus. So I brought pipali to clear mucus of this world, but the mucus I can see is already increasing. So people could not understand what he's saying. Pipali, mucus, increasing. What is this? So then the Lord was indicating that I actually, even though I've come to give my mercy, but I can find people around are actually, that is not really happening the way I wanted. So gradually reveals to his associates his desire to take sannyas. And it is explained, it is difficult for us to explain this leela because it is so deep and it is so difficult to understand the emotions of his associates. What must be the emotion of Murari Gupta? What must be the associate of Advaita Acharya, who was the cause of bringing to the Lord to this world? How would he bear to see the Lord taking sannyas? So the devotee's mood is difficult. It is said that, you know, for ordinary sadhaka like ourselves, myself, the leela of the Lord going from Vrindavan to Mathura is so deep. It's so difficult. That viraha bhav of the gopis, what they were going through and what they were experiencing, and I mean, what can we really understand of that? This is such a high topic for, average struggling Vaishnav. So that emotion which was experienced by the gopis, the Brijvasis, in imminent separation from Krishna, going to Mathura, that when you multiply that by million times fold, it is said, is the emotion experienced by the Navadvip Vasis and the associates in the Lord's imminent taking of sannyas. So we can imagine how high and how intense must be that. Because in Mahaprabhu's leela, everything comes to a point of the emotional, the experiential emotions are at the highest in Gaur leela, then more in Ram, then more in Krishna leela. Everything actually goes at this topmost point. Everything is the highest. The mercy is the highest, the emotions are the highest. Everything is high. So it is way beyond our understanding. But we can only just sort of surmise that what must have really happened. What type of crying and agony. The Lord says that I am going to get wealth for all of you. A family man goes to earn wealth from distant countries, and when he comes back home, that wealth is not for him. The wealth is for all his family members to distribute. So what I am going for is to get Krishna Prem, and it's not just for me. I will give all this to you. It is impossible for me to stay at home. My body is burning with the fierce desire to leave home and get this wealth of Krishna Prem. So anyway, the Lord ultimately somehow convinces his associates, and the real then obstacle is to come somehow talk to Sachi Mata, and how she gets so much affected by that. And the Lord actually has to console her that you are not just the ordinary mother. You have been my mother before as Kausalya, and I was your Ram. You have been Prishni, and I was Prishni Garbha. And there also you have been my mother. I was a son, Vamana, and you are Aditi that time. So you are my eternal mother. So please do not lament like an ordinary mother. Somehow he pacifies, but Sachi Mata cannot be pacified, obviously. He said, okay, you want to take sannyas? She finally says, you want to take sannyas? Okay, I permit you to take sannyas. You take sannyas, but I'll come along with you. I will go with you also. And wherever you go, I will go with you, because I cannot bear to see the fact that who will feed you? You see, mother's heart, first thing mother, he said, beta khana khaya. The mother's first concern for the children is that, have my children eaten adequately? That's the so even Mahaprabhu is like a grown-up man, now he's 24 years old, but doesn't really matter. For the mother and child relationship continues no matter what the age factor is. It is really in that sense transcendental to age. Yeah, even when the son may be 50 years old, the mother will still say, beta khana khaya ki nahi khaya. It just continues. So Mahaprabhu's mother is thinking, what will a sannyasi eat? Who will give him food? Earth I'm making for him, who will give him food to eat? Sannyasi has to beg. So I'll come with you, I'll cook food for you, and you can do your sannyas part, whatever you want to do. So then anyway, there's all these beautiful things are described like that. And then as I said, the Lord ultimately leaves for Kantak Nagar. And then the things are not over there at Kantak. The things are like Kantak. A lot of Kantak is there also. Kantak means thorns. A lot of thorns there also. People in Kantak Nagar are saying, what? Sannyas to 24-year-old young boy? We will never allow this to happen. Keshav Bharati Maharaj, if you dare do this act of giving a young, beautiful, bright, honhar, one who's going to become a great career in front of him, Nimai Pandit, if you're going to give him sannyas, we will tear down your ashram and burn it. Dhamki. You can imagine his position, Keshav Bharati. He knows this is the Lord. He's not ordinary soul. He can see through it. This is not ordinary person coming to take sannyas. This is Lord. And it is my service to him to give sannyas. But these people are wild with rage. That is social injustice being done by a man who is as exalted as Keshav Bharati. We cannot allow this injustice to take place in our village of Kantak Nagar. No question. So what do you do when you have such difficult situations? It is said, I've heard before, that when you have such intense crisis taking place, there is one thing you should definitely do. And what is that? Do kirtan of the holy name. That's something which really comes to rescue. So Lord does beautiful kirtan. By the time Mukunda has come and all the associates have come, they have learned from Navadip, they have learned that the Lord is Kantak Nagar. So all they also came out, got the news, and they also came to this. So and all the singing and all takes place. And in the midst of that ecstasy of singing, when they're absorbed in the holy name, that holy name is so beautiful, it's so powerful, it makes you oblivious of, as I said, immediate reality around you and the event taking place. You go into a complete different level, realm of absorption. And in that absorption, when everyone is sort of high, then in the meanwhile, he tells Chandrasekhar Acharya, his uncle, go and get the barber. And the Chandrasekhar has already made all the preparations, everything is ready. And Madhu Shil, this great special barber, the Lord's associate as a barber, Madhu Shil, he comes. And when he comes and sees the hair, and he has had obviously cut so many hair of so many men before, but he has never seen hair which are so beautiful. They are not just beautiful, they are in fact all beautiful. Krishna is all attractive, means that every part of his body is all attractive. Not just the whole body. His eyes all attractive. His nose all attractive. His teeth all attractive. His lips all attractive. His hands all attractive. His neck all attractive. Hair also all attractive. That means when you look at the hair, everything else in the world becomes unattractive. The power of the hair is to attract your complete consciousness. It is fully potent to be as attractive as the Lord himself, his own hair, because they're non-different. The hair and the Lord are non-different. They're absolute. So absolute attractiveness is there in the hair also, as much as there in the Lord as a whole. Every part in the whole, everything is all attractive. So then how can somebody have the strength to cut hair which are all attractive? Usually we cut our hair because they are unattractive, right? The hair goes so long, and they like you look like a hippie, and you look like so. He said, "Arey baal bada ho gaya, kaatna chahiye abhi." Like you really look so crazy when you have a long hair. So you cut your hair because you're unattractive with hair. And the Lord does the opposite. With all the hair on his body, he looks very attractive. So he is like shaking in fear. His hands are like trembling. He cannot hold his astra properly. He's like. It's not possible. It's like a surgeon operating on some very big VIP. He'll be very scared. What if the surgery doesn't go well? So he's like that, shaking. He said, I cannot do this. The Lord said, you do this, please do this. It's the last hair you will have to cut in your life. After this, you can give up this profession of hair cutting business. And at the end of this life, you will enter my abode. So the Lord assures him that you are not just an ordinary act. You are actually going to be blessed with eternal residence in the spiritual sky with me. Of course, he didn't cut his hair. He didn't cut any more hair after that. He became a mithai wala after that. The same hair, the sweetness of his hand, which had cut the Lord's beautiful hair. You can imagine the mithai he was making after that. Madhu, his name also was Madhu. Of course, very sweet. So he became a mithai madala. Anyway, the hair was cut. And when the people who are looking at the whole scenario of, and they realize the event taking place in front of their eyes, each and every strand falling to the ground, that broke everyone's heart like anything. It broke their hearts. And there was like a mass mourning if somebody has died. Mass mourning of everyone is crying loudly. And the Lord is there. The Lord is very happy because his will is taking place, and very soon he will be able to do what he wanted, what he has come for in this world. And then he goes to Keshavapati Maharaj and chants a mantra and said, I had a dream of a Brahmin who gave me this particular mantra, Sanyas mantra. You think it's a good mantra? Then it's a good mantra. So this is a very good mantra. This is the best of all mantras. So then he chants a mantra back in Mahaprabhu's ear. So actually the Lord initiates Keshavapati Maharaj in Sanyas in that sense first. So he understands that. Keshavapati Maharaj understands this. And then he repeats the same mantra back in Mahaprabhu's right ear. And he's not willing to give the name. They are supposed to give a name with Bharti because he was from the Bharti Sampradaya. So if I give the word, some name with Bharti's suffix, it would mean that I use like my sannyas disciple. So who can be the Lord's sannyas guru? The Lord is Akhila Jagat Guru. So, you know, I will not keep my Bharti Sampradaya, keep it aside. He understood that the Lord's will is to give the Krishna consciousness. So he said, your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Everyone was very happy and rejoicing. So this all event is, in one sense, when we say everything is happening eternally, right? We say that everything is happening, Nitya Leela is happening. So at this point of time, maybe around this time, at Kantak Nagar, in the year, what was that year? Sannyas year, 1510, right? 24 years, 1510. So many years back, this particular Leela was taking place, and some of us have been very fortunate to go to this holy place, Katwa, where the Lord's Samadhi of Hair Samadhi is there. So we can remember this beautiful Leela today and within our hearts and appreciate deeply as much as we can with our limited resource of realizations after the glory of Mahaprabhu's avatar in this world. And what he has come to give the world. And how we, just by being connected with Srila Prabhupada, have got access to this mercy which the Lord has come to give. Without Prabhupada's connection, how would you ever get connection to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is not possible. So this great gift, which all of us have received, of chanting Hare Krishna mantra, which is a means to achieve a type of love, which is experienced by the residents of Vrindavan, that mercy which we all have got. So how can we thank enough the Lord for that? But I said, we cannot give a great soul anything. But all that we can give them is our gratitude and receive gratefully what they have come to give us. So we can rejoice in our hearts today with more understanding about the fortune to be receiving Mahaprabhu's gift which he has come to give in this Leela. So that's what I'll just sort of recount the Leela in my limited capacity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय.